Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
So here we are with Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. I'll tell you what, I have eaten so much food in New Orleans right now.
It has been so good, hasn't it?
Unbelievable.
Incredible.
You know, one of the fun things to do, I would encourage anybody, if you get a chance to go eat with Mark Halleck.
That's right.
It is an experience.
Because he'll not only eat your food, he'll eat whatever you have left over.
Yeah, if you can't finish.
I took on Dan's plate.
You did.
Unapologetically.
You did.
You know, it was, and then if you have Clifton along with you, Clifton, I've never seen this before. I'm with Clifton. We're with Clifton. We go to this restaurant, and it's time for dessert. I'm not a dessert eater.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're really much of a dessert
eater.
No,
not really. Unless they set it on fire at your table, and then I got to have it.
Bananas Foster.
Which they did.
He says, let's have Bananas Foster.
Anything they set on fire at my table, I'm going to have it.
They set it on fire, and there's Kyle over there with his camera, you know.
Taking a picture of it.
So we have video of this.
That's true. We didn't look like a tourist at all.
No, not at all.
By the way, I got to just say this.
What?
Those sweet potatoes.
Aren't they great?
Those were unbelievable.
They were good.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Sweet potatoes are good for you. We're in New Orleans. We are in New Orleans at the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and they are letting us use their podcast and radio station, a podcast studio radio station.
WBSM.
Yeah. WBSM, to do our podcast. So thank you so much for letting us use this, and thank you, New Orleans, for providing such delicious, wonderful food. We will take this show on the road.
If you've got a good restaurant.
We've been to Denver. We've been to Kansas City. Now we're in New Orleans. We will come your way. We have a van down by the river, and we'll load it up, and we'll come. If you got some microphones and a cassette recorder, we'll do it at your house. So anyway.
This is Revitalize and Replant.
Is that what this is?
It's not a cuisine, a show.
I think we've lost our audience.
But today we really are talking about something that is just life-changing and radically different because we tend to include it as all of the steps, all of the little things that you have to do in church. And I'm talking about prayer.
Yeah, but what happens when you don't pray?
That's right.
You know, that's the danger of it. What happens if you don't have a consistent, constant, empowered prayer? And I look at my congregation, and I look out over these people, and we have all different demographics in the congregation. And I look at the folks that are there by themselves, mm-hmm. you know, whether they be widows or whether they be singles, men or women, young or old, it doesn't matter to me. And I look at them, and I know a lot of their circumstances, and I think, who prays for these people during the week?
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I at least have a wife who's praying for me every day, praying about me.
Right.
But at least, you know, I have somebody who prays for me.
That's right.
And I know that a lot of my people pray for me. But what about these people in the congregation that don't get prayed for?
Yeah.
Well, that tells me, if they're not getting prayed for, that we have some people in our church who are just prayerless.
That's right.
You know, they're not really praying. They're going through motions and emotions.
Right.
So let's talk about the losses, the dangers. What can we do to encourage our people to pray?
Well, I think normally when we talk about prayer, Mark Halleck, we always talk about, here's what happens when we pray.
Mm.
How many times have I heard, here's what happens when people pray?
Yeah.
And that's true.
Yeah.
But today, buckle up, honey.
Yeah.
Tighten up your seatbelt. This is going to be a bumpy ride.
Yep.
Today, thanks to our friend Jim Eliff once again.
Yep.
Christian Communicators Worldwide, Jim Eliff. We're going to talk today about, what do you lose when you don't pray?
And you lose a lot.
Not what do you gain when you
That's
pray.
Right.
What do you lose? It's not a no sum thing. Like, well,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I don't pray, I don't get these things. That's true. But if you don't pray, you lose these things.
That's right. That's right.
I've never really had somebody phrase it that way.
I know.
So clearly.
It's weighty. This is weighty.
And the first one is obvious, but yet it is so incredibly important to bring up. It's kind of almost foundational, but that is simply that evangelistic work is going to be hindered.
That's right.
You know, how do you share the gospel if you're not connected?
Well, Jesus says this, right? In Matthew 9, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Who are we to think, what arrogance to think that we would be effective in evangelism apart from the absolute power of God, and the Spirit of God working through the preaching of the word, the sharing of the gospel. And yet I think many of us do.
And I think if we go, and I'll be first in line at this, guys. I'm putting myself up front. If we go week after week, month after month, and we're not having any impact on lost people, we're not having any gospel conversations, we're not seeing Christ, God bring anybody to Christ, the first place to start is my prayer life.
That's right.
That's where you start. Yeah. Not, and you know, I know the four spiritual laws. Do I know EE? Am I drinking at the right coffee shops and I'm eating the right people? I mean, maybe you need to deal with those things eventually, but where you begin is, where's my prayer life?
And let me say this really practically. We say this to our congregation all the time, but I'd say this to all of our listeners, and it starts with us. Everywhere you go, there should be a simple prayer that you pray and get in the habit of praying before you walk into a grocery store. Literally, you're walking from your car into the grocery store to say, Lord, open my eyes to see people that need you.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it changes the whole experience in that grocery store if you pray that. You pray, you go to wherever, a restaurant. Lord, give me eyes to see those. And you'd be shocked what you see. You see a single mom in the grocery store crying, trying to hold her kids together. Right. And you come alongside her and you start a conversation of love. Can I help you in any way? Mm-hmm. Do you need? It's amazing. But we need to ask the Lord, God, open my eyes to see, take my eyes off myself.
You know, one of the turning points in my own personal ministry was I started praying, God, let me see these people through your eyes.
That's good.
Man, that broke my heart. Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you. It just destroyed me.
So a prayerless pastor and a prayerless church, number one, your evangelism work will be hindered.
Yes.
So if you're not doing good evangelism, if you're not doing any evangelism in your church or in your personal life, start with your prayer life.
That's right.
Number one,
yep.
I'm telling you. Number two, this is so powerful. If you have a weak prayer life, if your church has a weak prayer life, you will be more inclined to enter into temptation.
That's right.
Because the prayer that Jesus prayed, right? What did he say, Mark?
Yep. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Listen, it's a. You just try, don't try. But if you're on your knees, it is hard to hunger after sin when you're hungering after the Lord.
Man, isn't that true?
You know what I'm saying? And you just, it's like we say, it's hard to stay angry at somebody when you're on your knees. You kill sin and the temptation to sin on your knees.
That's right.
Period.
You battle it because on your knees, you're pursuing a greater joy than
that's
a sin.
Right. Amen.
That's how
exactly
you defeat
right.
sin is by looking for a superior joy, and
that's
you only
right.
find that. And so, absolutely. If you have a low prayer life, a loss of prayer in your life and in the life of your church, you'll be far more likely to enter into
because only
temptation.
The Lord can give you that power that makes sin stink, man.
Yeah,
and only
besides,
the Lord can do that.
The Lord's prayer says, "Lead us not into." You have to pray to be not led into
temptation,
not to be led into temptation. Number three, this is real.
Oh,
they're all
man.
Good.
This
right?
one. This one is.
You will not get what you want. Now, wait a minute. We're not talking
health and wealth gospel.
Health and wealth gospel. What I would like to have, you know, I had a friend of mine, and I really loved this kid. I'd really tried to coach him in preaching and in ministry, and he would listen some, but then he would fall back. And he was he'd grown up in a wealth and health prosperity mm-hmm. preaching context. That's all he knew.
Yeah.
And so he would do okay for a while, then he would fall back into it. And so he was having me listening to his sermons one day, and so I was listening, and he was talking about it. He said, I know some of you can't pay your car tags. You're driving around with expired car tags. I want you to pray right now, and I want you to ask Jesus to bring the money to you to pay your expired car tags.
Wow.
Thinking, that's not what it's all about.
That's kind of missing it.
Kind of missing it. You know, I think you got bigger problems than your expired car tags. Jesus, take care of it. Anyway, but here's number three. You know, number three, if you have a low prayer life, if you don't pray, and your church doesn't pray, you will not get what you want.
Okay, you come back to you.
All right.
Delight yourself in the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, come on, preach to us.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I get
Amen.
A Cadillac.
Come on.
Isn't that what that means? No. It means he will put his desires in your heart.
That's right.
And
there
so
it
how
is.
Can you how can you know what God wants if you're not delighting in him and he's not giving you his
yes.
desires? The converse of this, by the way, and that is that if you're not praying and you're not really seeking the face of God and you're not really seeking his will, then you will get what you want.
Yep.
Which is not the will of God.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And the desires of your heart, as you say, when God changes your heart, you want what he wants.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And you'll get what he wants.
That's right.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Number four, you cannot successfully prove you are his disciple. Mm-hmm. I mean, in John 15, it says, ask what you desire, it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, and you bear much fruit, yep. so you'll be my disciples. You're bearing fruit yeah. is evidence that you're his disciple. Again, if you're not seeing evangelism in your own life and in the life of your church, and if your church people are not seeing evangelism or your church people are not seeing fruit, and you're not seeing
yep.
fruit,
yep.
you're not being discipled, you're not a disciple, start with your prayer life.
Listen, this is John, all of John 15. And if yeah. you haven't read John 15 in a while, prayerfully, you need to do that. But Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches.
Right.
If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Nothing. You can right. do absolutely nothing. And so when he says here, you cannot successfully prove you are his disciple, it's absolutely true. We will bear no fruit
right.
for the glory of God. And it all starts with abiding in Christ. And at the heart of abiding in Christ is praying, praying, praying. It's praying
you
without
You can't
ceasing.
Prove you're a disciple in your flesh.
That's right.
And you can't prove you're a disciple without a prayer life.
Ooh, come on.
All right.
Say that again.
You can't prove you're a disciple in your flesh, and you can't prove you're a disciple without a prayer.
That's
life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we always want our church to be people full of that are all disciples, right? Well, they got to be people of prayer.
Mm.
Number five, if you do not pray, you will not have all the joy you Ooh, could possibly
that's
have.
So true, man.
Mark, you're all about joy.
Boy,
talk to us.
Come on, baby. This gets me fired up. It's true. It's true, man. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It is in prayer. It's in communion with God. It's in our worship of the Lord that we're filled with supernatural joy that looks super weird to the world.
Yep.
And quite frankly, it'll look weird to people in the church sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay because joy is supernatural. But the fuel of joy in the Lord is prayer yep. and worship.
Yep.
It just is.
It is, totally.
And nothing's better than the Lord.
So if you forfeit prayer in your life, you're going to forfeit some joy
that's right.
that you would have had. And again, we go back to the last episode we did on discouragement and disappointment. And man, it is in prayer that you can find that
yes,
joy.
Yes, amen.
And it's just, you know, the anyway, we got to move on. We could spend all day here. But
let me take you to number six.
Number six.
You'll forfeit some of God's protection and deliverance.
Wow.
And you know what? You have to live on a daily basis under God's protection mm-hmm. and his deliverance. You pray that. Deliver me from evil. Man, if you're not praying that,
yes,
don't expect
right.
evil not to haunt you.
Yeah.
Why did Jesus tell us to pray that?
Right. Yeah. And in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 10 and 11, and he will deliver us, you also joining and helping us through your prayers.
Mm.
So that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many.
Wow.
I mean, it's in the Bible, guys.
Yeah.
If we pray for one another, favor is bestowed upon us. If we don't pray for one another, we will forfeit some of yeah. God's protection and deliverance. This is serious stuff.
This is serious.
Piper calls prayer what? Wartime communication.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's very much like this. You know, we just came through June 6th not long ago. We're here, as the Lord allows, we get through with this podcast. We're going to go down to the World War II Museum here in New Orleans and take a look at it. Been there before. It's a great place. It's like this. It's D-Day, right? And you're in those Higgins boats, and you're the first ones there on the beach, and you dig this little foxhole, and you're trying to work your way up that beach, and there's some pillbox up there. And you happen to be fortunate enough to have a guy jump in your foxhole who has a working radio. And you're able to radio back one of the destroyers who's much closer to the land than they should be. And you say, man, that's the pillbox. If you don't take that out, we can't go anywhere. And that destroyer takes out that pillbox and you run. You use that communication as wartime communication.
Mm.
It is absolutely praying for God's protection,
yes.
praying for God's deliverance, praying and to give. It would be like having that guy jump in your foxhole and go, I don't need your radio.
Yeah.
I don't need to talk to that ship back
wow.
there. I got
yeah.
this. I can cover this. No, you can't.
Yeah.
And that's why having prayer is so important, and you will forfeit some of God's protection and deliverance. Number seven is what, Mark?
You will often misunderstand God's ways.
Hmm.
You'll misunderstand God's ways. And Exodus, we read this, now therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you so that I may find favor in your sight.
Guys, do you ever do this? Do you ever tell God what his way should be?
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. You bet.
And, This, yeah. You know, I do that. You know, when I find myself doing that, it comes back to this thing. You know, first of all, apparently you haven't been praying enough about this, brother.
Right.
When you start telling God how to handle it, you haven't been listening to God tell you how to handle it.
No, I mean, I can't balance a checkbook. How can I? And really, it's kind of like, you know, God says, all right, you want to do everything?
Right.
Where were you when I created the world? Where were you, you know? And basically, we ought to be glad that God doesn't do everything we tell him to do, or I'd be married to Jan Brady today.
Yeah. That's what,
That was a long time ago.
Actually, no, you would not.
No, probably not. That's probably true.
You wouldn't be that lucky.
But really, the only way we understand God's ways is through prayer. And you've heard it said, and you need to say it in your life, and you need to say it to your folks. We don't pray to change God's mind about something. We pray to align our heart with what he's doing.
Yes, that's right.
And what he wants to do in us.
Yep. And the Lord, and you know what I get out of this too, is the Lord wants to lead us.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. God wants to lead us. The means by which he leads us is through prayer and the word.
Hey, if you're just joining us, we're talking about what happens when we don't pray. We always talk about what happens when we do pray. When you don't pray and your church doesn't pray, your evangelism will be hindered. You'll enter into temptation more. You will not have the desires of your heart because your heart won't have the right desires. You won't successfully be able to prove you are his disciple because you won't bear fruit. You won't have all the joy that God wants to give you. You'll forfeit some of God's protection and deliverance. You will misunderstand the ways of God. And man, this one hits home to me. You'll continue to be worried.
Wow, wow.
The first Bible verse I ever memorized, really, other than John 3:16, was, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:6-7.
First scripture I ever memorized at the camp I got saved at when I was 15 is 1 Peter 5:7. "Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you."
Oh, so good. Man, through prayer, we can absolutely battle against worry.
Yes.
But if we don't pray, we will continue to worry.
Yes.
That's what we're trying
That's
to say.
That's the flip side.
Well, we battle worry by pray. Okay, but if you don't pray, worry wins.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yep.
Number nine. The fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If we don't pray, look at what we're not availing in the lives of other people, in the lives of your children, your grandchildren, your parents, your coworkers. And the opportunity for the fervent prayer of a righteous man to make a difference.
That's right.
And if it's not, okay, that's great. But if we don't do that, there's a difference that could have been made that's not being made.
Amen. Let me read James 5:14-15. "Is any among you suffering? Let him pray," right? "If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up." God uses our prayers as a means to bring healing to those who are sick and hurting.
And the last one.
Oh,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's important to point out, though, that when it says that the fervent prayer of a righteous man is critical, we have to underline the word righteous, because if it's just fervent prayer, we're praying about something, you know, over and over and over again. If we're not praying with righteousness, then we're really wasting time.
That's a good call. So the 10th one that you will give up if you do not pray and your church is not a praying church, you will not glorify God as much as you could. And here's the deal about that. You're created to glorify God.
Yes, yep.
You know, when we were down here last night walking around the French Quarter like all tourists do, you know, we were all struck with the fact that there are so many people seeking an experience, seeking something in life that brings them some joy and some momentary distraction from life. And it's hollow and it's shallow, and momentarily it may make them feel better. But we were all created for one purpose, and that's to glorify God.
Yeah.
And that's where our joy comes in and our fulfillment and our purpose. And we can glorify God if we're wealthy or poor, if we're sick, if we're well, if we're alone, and if we're in a crowd. And if you don't pray, you will not glorify God as you could. You'll lose out on so very much. And so when you look at these 10 things you lose when you don't pray, I hope you'll share these with your congregation. I hope you'll take this podcast and you'll send it to your deacons and your Sunday school teachers.
Yeah.
And you'll say, look, we got to come together. We got to start praying, because it's not just about what we gain when we pray. It's about what we lose when we don't pray.
Yes.
And so really focus on that. It means so very much, and it's such an important part of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And listen, oh man, Don Whitney said one time, I have never forgotten this. there's nothing about prayer that appeals to our flesh. Church architecture can appeal to our flesh. You've heard me say this before. I mean, you know, you can walk into a beautiful building. Now, if it's a Baptist church, probably not so much. But if it's a Lutheran church or something, you can walk into a building and go, this is a beauty. No, that's not true. They're all pretty. Music can appeal to our flesh. You know, we like music. Even good preaching can appeal to our flesh someone who can tell a good story be a good speaker.
Yep.
There's nothing about prayer that appeals to our flesh.
Wow.
And that's why we have to discipline ourselves in order to pray. But when we do, we receive such joy in that. And the adversary knows that. So, man, help your people. And listen, again, if your people are not people of prayer, who do they hear pray more often in public than anybody? I want you to really, as Henry Blackaby used to always say, think about how much time you spend preparing to talk to your people on Sunday about God and how little time you prepare talking to God in front of your people. I want you to think about how you're praying in public on Sunday morning and make sure people say, I can't wait to go home and do that.
Wow.
All right, man. This is all about prayer. Some good stuff. Kyle will place it on the show notes. Man, send this out to other people. Subscribe. Dan, take us home.
This is Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. We've been talking from the studios of WBSM at New Orleans Seminary. Thank you guys for allowing us to be here. And thank you to the North American Mission Board for making this possible. We want to ask you to subscribe. If you have not subscribed, not all formats where you listen to podcasts give you that opportunity. But if they do, please subscribe. Thank you for doing that. And then, of course, please share the word. Please share the word about the podcast and let people know we're here to encourage and to help and to direct and to stimulate the faith of brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor, or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.